From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Some of y'all were a little mad at us for a while because it took us forever to kind of announce everything we were going to have going on for Saturday's G-Day spring game there in Athens. And the one thing I kept trying to say over and over again is, you know, the reason why we're not telling you everything yet is because we've got a lot to tell. I know at the time that may have seemed, you know, like I was spinning a yarn, maybe doing some exaggerating. But the truth is, I really do think, and I told you about some of this yesterday, as we kind of lay out a lot of our plans for this upcoming weekend, I think a lot of that's really exciting. It starts for us tonight, Marlowe's in Brookhaven, 6 p.m. for our Dog Nation big game preview. As I told you, we're going to be there giving away free T-shirts, Dog Nation appreciation T-shirts, the great remembrance of the 2017 season with all the scores of the big games. We're actually giving that T-shirt away tonight at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven. So if you can come by and see us at 6 p.m., that is a chance for you to do that there. That is going to be a lot of fun there from 6 to 8 tonight. And then on Saturday, a whole bunch of stuff going on. We'll tell you about more of that later on. But let me begin today, before we sort of dive into any of the sort of official content for the program today, with a huge announcement concerning Saturday's Dog Nation post-game show, which once again returns to the UGA bookstore, our home away from home, when we are there in Athens. I am really proud to announce that I'm going to have a special guest co-host with me on Saturday. And if you come by and see us up on the second floor of the UGA bookstore, you can meet former Georgia tight end Jeb Blazevich, who will be working with me that day as our co-host for the Dog Nation post-game show. I've gotten to know Jeb a little bit here over the last little while, talking to him about Georgia football, talking to him about just life in general. What a breath of fresh air Jeb Blazevich is. An absolute great guy, terrific football mind, and he is going to be with us as our special guest analyst for our Dog Nation post-game show after G-Day on Saturday from the UGA bookstore. So a lot of you have already said you were making plans to come by and see me at the UGA bookstore on Saturday, and of course Jeff Sintel will be stopping by to say hello to us as well. Well, you've got even more reason to come by and see us, because up there on the second floor of the UGA bookstore, it is former Georgia tight end Jeb Blazevich, who is going to be awesome to hang out with there that day. And if you can't be in Athens, if you are, you know, we have people that check in from on this show every day from all over the country, all over the world, and obviously many of you'd like to be in Athens, but if you can't be and you want to kind of get up to date on everything that happens during G-Day, then dial us up on those Dog Nation video channels, YouTube, Facebook. We may even have more than that to broadcast the show on video by the time we get to Saturday, but nonetheless, wherever you find Dog Nation video, you can find our Dog Nation post-game show on Saturday. And I am really, really excited to say that Jeb Blazevich is going to be my co-host for the Dog Nation postgame show. You are going to love Jeb. As a matter of fact, you already love him. He was a great, as you say, DGD during the course of his Georgia career. But he's a super guy talking about football, so it's going to be really fun with Jeb Blazevich on Saturday after the game for the Dog Nation postgame show there in Athens from the UGA bookstore. So with that out of the way, really excited about Jeb Blazevich on Saturday. Let me turn my attention to what Kirby Smart is, the message that he's trying to push out there to Georgia fans. And, you know, Kirby Smart's got, you know, in his mind some ideas why he thinks you, if you're on the fence about coming to G-Day, he's obviously looking for a full house, full crowd, as many people as you can pack into Sanford Stadium. As you know, the stadium going to look a little different on Saturday. That west end zone going to be torn up because of the construction, the renovation that's going on there. You will see, I think, fully operational the battle station will be, that brand-new video board there. But in terms of the seats that you sit in, that's not necessarily going to be in place. That's not going to be there for you on Saturday. So you can't get 93,000 the way you did back in 2016 for G-Day. But you can get a full house, or at least as many as you can pack in to that full house. And Kirby wants it. And he thinks there's some reasons why you ought to come. Here is Kirby Smart's challenge this week to Georgia fans.
All right, guys, we're a week away from G-Day. I'm certainly excited and looking forward to what early forecasts are suggesting. There'll be great weather. And, again, I want to challenge our fans to come out. I think there's no greater ability to measure our team or some of our young players than to put whatever the maximum number we can fit in that stadium is. We certainly need it, because our guys got to get used to playing in front of that kind of atmosphere. I think our fans have been incredible this entire season, and got a chance to come out and see a lot of mid-year enrollees participate and compete in G-Day next week. So personally, I need to do is challenge people to do that.
So that's Kirby Smart's sales pitch. That's his commercial. And as a guy who knows something about, you know, addressing some commercials from time to time, I think Kirby does a pretty good job there. He really packs a lot into just a few sentences as far as why Georgia fans should go to G-Day. And if I counted correctly, you really hear four things from Kirby there that end up being your pitch for why you ought to be in Athens on Saturday inside Sanford Stadium doing your part to make sure it looks like a full house. First of all, and right out of the box, he sort of says this, and I think this is just something worth bringing up. You know, the weather right now, but now it's still early in the week, it's only Tuesday, and weather has a way of changing this time of year, but as you sort of look into the future on Saturday, right now the weather looks beautiful. It's kind of funny, I already see a lot of social media activity and messages about what the weather's going to be like in Athens on Saturday, and you know, Kirby Smart's assessment of this is pretty similar to mine as well. When I look at the extended forecast, I'm seeing sunny skies, I'm seeing 70 plus degree temperatures, I'm seeing one of those classic Athens spring Saturdays, a lot of fun there. Great time to be together with UGA fans. And many of you are planning on setting up a tailgate and kind of going at it on Saturday. And boy, the weather seems certainly perfect for that. And that's a big reason why Kirby Smart wants you to come out to G-Day on Saturday. He also mentions, you know, the idea of for a lot of these players maybe getting ready to do some of this stuff at the SEC level for the first time, that full stadium for G-Day ends up being, you know, one of those environments that almost serves as a dress rehearsal and almost is one of those deals where, hey, if you can perform in front of this crowd on this spring Saturday, there's a better chance you're able to also perform on those fall Saturdays as well. Of course, we do the show on video every day, and there was a video commenter the other day that said, hey, you know, maybe Georgia fans ought to take that as a challenge to truly get the team, you know, ready for the season and kind of, you know, ready to go for all this. You know, maybe the Georgia fans should stand up, make noise, and cheer both defenses on to put a little bit more pressure on the two quarterbacks in the game. And I'm not so sure how that would work out, but I do think that's kind of an interesting idea. I just think, the packed stadium, the game-like atmosphere goes a long way towards, you know, towards simulating at least somewhat what happens, you know, during actual games. And Kirby Smart's strategy of playing number one offense against number one defense, number two offense against number two defense, also sort of sets up the kind of competition that feels like a regular college football game as well. For a lot of these guys, the individual battles they'll be facing on G-Day may be tougher than a lot of what they'll do during the regular season. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the Georgia G-Day game probably a little bit more like a real football game than a lot of these spectacles around the SEC have been. And then I also like the fact that Kirby Smart mentions the idea that you can kind of come out and see some of the early enrollees. And, you know, listen, Georgia's got a nice crop of early enrollees. A lot of these guys could contribute this fall, but what Kirby Smart does not say there, but which is obviously true, is the early enrollee fans are most curious about seeing, given the fact that, you know, Zamir White's injured will be on the sidelines. They want to see Justin Fields. They want to see Justin Fields put on the show, want to see Justin Fields get a lot of work with that number two offense. My guess is that that's exactly what will happen. You will see a good bit of Fields. And my guess is that Fields is going to be, you know, sort of equal to that task, equal to that challenge. I think he's going to look the part here on Saturday. And I think that come Monday here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, we're going to have a lot of things to say about Justin Fields and what I would imagine is going to be a pretty fun debut for him in a Georgia uniform. And then the fourth reason why I think, from what you heard there, Kirby Smart thinks you ought to go to G-Day, and this is more not explicitly stated, but just sort of implied, and Kirby Smart has explicitly stated this in the past, is while the full stadium may go some way towards getting current players ready for the upcoming season, the real thing that the full stadium does is, and this is why so many SEC coaches have sort of pushed for attendance records for their spring game, or in Kirby Smart's case, an outright full stadium with every seat, you know, occupied, is because of the impact that it makes on recruiting. For the prospects who are there, and there will be a ton of them, we'll talk to Jeff Sintel more about that in a moment, and for the prospects who might be taking an official visit to Penn State this weekend, or in Andrew Booth's case, maybe going to another spring game around the SEC, hearing about the big show put on in Athens, Georgia, all of a sudden that becomes a big coup for recruiting, which is obviously what everything boils down to when you're trying to win national championships here in the highest level of this sport. So G-Day, I think, is going to be fun. We're obviously looking forward to being a big part of that. And Kirby Smart wants Georgia fans to be there to fill the stadium. And if Kirby Smart's going on 3 years of being in Athens has taught us anything is, when he issues a challenge to the fans have proven to be more than ready to accept that challenge. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and we're glad you're with us. Whether you watch us on video, a couple different ways for you to access the program on video each and every day, live at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook and Dog Nation YouTube pages. You can check us out there. We're glad you're with us. On the radio at noon in the Classic City with our friends on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Android devices, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com for those of you that just listen right there through the website. We're just really glad that you've accessed Dog Nation Daily here today, and really glad to have Marco's Pizza with us here as well. And don't forget, Marco's got a great offer for you. They want you to meet the boss. It's the boss of all cheese pizzas. It is five cheeses blended together, and the extra large right now, just $10.99. But that is a limited offer. It's not going to last forever. So you got to go to Marcos.com to find the Marco's nearest you, and you can get the big cheese, a great offer from Marco's, just $10.99 right now for a limited time only. Of course, always fun having Marco's Pizza here with us today on Dog Nation Daily. It is Jeff Sintel coming up a little later on for our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. We'll check in with Jeff on that. I do want to spend a little bit of time before we bring on Jeff, sort of setting up something we're going to spend a good bit of time talking about. And this has been a subject now we've dealt with here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, quite a lot over the last couple of days. Last night, Hannah Chalker, our buddy, was enjoying some time off, so she was good enough to allow me to sit in for her on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger on the Dog Nation video channels. And Jeff Sintel, the recruiting insider that you know and love, was on that show also, as he is every week, and he presented an exclusive interview that he was able to do with five-star linebacker Owen Pepo. And now, we have talked about Pepo a lot here on our program, given the fact that he was supposed to be making his commitment announcement on May 5th. We had sort of jokingly not, we didn't start it, we joined in on the chorus of people who had sort of jokingly started calling this Cinco de Pepo. That was supposed to be the announcement date for Owen Pepo. But when Owen spoke to Jeff over the weekend at the Charlotte Nike opening regional qualifier, well, he told Jeff that May 5th was no longer the date. It's actually been moved up. Here is Owen Pepo on the new date and kind of his thought process as he nears his commitment decision.
I know I was told everybody on Twitter it's going to be May 5th, but I'm actually moving it to May 1st, so that's why I'm going to announce my commitment. And I really have an idea of who it's going to be. I'm going to make sure I visit two specific schools back-to-back. I ain't going to say who they are, but yeah, I'm going to make sure I visit them back-to-back, and I'm going to make my decision based off of them.
So I speculated on video yesterday that I don't think the May 1st date here has anything to do with either of the two schools that he's choosing. He wants to do it on television. May 5th is a Saturday. That's typically not good for local news during the week. May 1st is a Tuesday. It's typically better for the overall ratings on that. Not to be too insidery here, but my guess is that if he does want to do this on TV, that may have been more of a TV concession to do it on a date where you can get some more eyeballs for it. It's also a little interesting here that Pepo talks about, you know, the fact that he has an idea where he wants to go, that you know, he references some visits he wants to take, and it's not abundantly clear what he means by that, but he does have an idea of where he wants to go. That's an important thought to keep in mind here, because over the course of the rest of these clips, the message maybe changes just a little bit here. I mean, at one point in time, he did tell Jeff Sintel that he didn't really have a leader. So kind of conflicting messages from Pepo just a little bit. I mean, the one thing he does acknowledge is that Georgia has been his top school, but watch out for Auburn. As has been reported, they are making a bit of a push. Here's more from Owen Pepo.
I've said Georgia's my top school. They are. People say Auburn's coming in the picture. I mean, I guess so.
So he admits there a couple things that have been acknowledged, that Georgia has been his top school. And Jeff Sintel has reported on this many times before, that, you know, at one point in time it was Clemson in Georgia or Florida State in Georgia. Now it's Auburn in Georgia. The Georgia's been that sort of constant in the mix here as a finalist for Owen Pepo. But here, as we near towards the May 1st decision date, Auburn is, as Pepo just mentioned, making its push, making its move. He does not deny that. And that maybe is part of the explanation why, you know, some reporters, including our colleague from SEC Country, Benjamin Wolk, have gone on record as predicting that Pepo will choose Auburn here on what is now the May 1st date. A little more from Owen Pepo here before we bring on Jeff Sintel into the program. What do the Georgia coaches think when they hear what we've all heard, that Auburn's making its move, that there's big-time chatter here, long visit. I think it was a three-day visit he took to Auburn. Travis Williams, the linebackers coach, really giving Pepo a lot of attention at the time. What do the Georgia coaches think about all of this? Here is Owen Pepo on that subject.
Yeah, they like, what's all this talk about Auburn? I'm like, coach, just let the media be the media. I just told them, if you don't hear something coming from me, just don't listen to it. That's what I tell them.
So, listen, I'm going to say something pretty similar here to what I've said about two guys that I am very sure are going to Georgia. You know, Jaden Hazelwood, I think, ends up at Georgia, but he's, for the moment, having fun with his recruiting process. And I've said before that I'm not bothered by that. Nolan Smith, I think, ends up at Georgia. But for the moment, he's choosing to enjoy his recruiting process, and I don't think fans should be bothered by that either. Now, I don't have the same level of confidence about Owen Pipoe that I would have about a Nolan Smith or a Jaden Hazelwood, but I am going to be consistent in my sort of evaluation of it all, that clearly Pipoe is having fun here. You know, he's sort of putting it out there in the atmosphere and into the universe that it might be Georgia, it might be Auburn. At one point in time, he even sort of referenced the visit he took to LSU. He was seen, I think, in the video we just showed you, wearing those purple and gold gloves. You know, not even really willing to concede it's only the two schools, Auburn and Georgia, for his services here. He's having fun with that. I'm not going to fault him for it. No matter what happens on May 1st, as has been reported many times, this is probably a decision that that rolls on far into the month of December, maybe. But the reason why we're paying such close attention to this here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, is because we think Pipoe is that kind of player. He's truly elite and truly in need for Georgia in 2019. And it's going to be fun to find out how this one ends up. It's good to have you with us here today on the program. For more on this subject, more, hope you enjoy Jeff's Intel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And Tuesdays here on our program means it's time for the Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. Recruiting information from Jeff Sintel coming up. I will tell you all, though, about a big event we have coming up tonight. 6 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Marlowe's Tavern there. And I've come bearing gifts, Dog Nation Appreciation T-shirts, those cool shirts that we gave away to everyone who attended Dog Nation Appreciation. While supplies last tonight, we're going to bring a lot. We will have Dog Nation Appreciation T-shirts to give away at the Marlowe's there in Brookhaven. So we're looking forward to seeing you tonight. It starts at 6 p.m. It's 6 to 8 p.m. there at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven. And with that said, let's start our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all with Jeff Sintel here on this Tuesday. And Jeff, let me start with you where I just finished off a moment ago with Owen Pipoe, the great exclusive interview that you did. We played it last night on our Before the Hedges program, and I played some of the audio there. And it seems to me, and listen, you know, I think this is well within Owen's prerogative here, but it seems to me that he's sort of having fun making multiple schools, multiple fan bases feel like they're in it. You know, on the one hand, he thinks he knows where he's going. On the other hand, he's not committing to saying that he has a leader. That's almost a slight contradiction, maybe just a bit, but all sort of consistent with the idea of Owen wants to build the drama for this decision. Am I describing this accurately in your mind?
Well, good morning, everybody. And Brandon, I think the main takeaway for that is, you know, everybody's thinking the following about Owen. Okay, he says he does not have a leader, but yet he also says he kind of has the team he wants to go to in mind, but he also needs to make some more back-to-back visits, and then he'll kind of submit things after those back-to-back visits. And I don't think he's talking about the officials to Penn State or Texas there either. You know, I guess the main thing when you look at this Pipoe decision is, you know, he is just that good of a player, Brandon. He's a guy that certified his worth at the Nike Charlotte Elite 11 and Regional. And I think the main takeaway, and this is maybe what we try to do, is maybe try to be five-tool reporters, I guess, or five-tool coverage, I guess. Now, we wrote a lot of that information immediately as it happened Sunday afternoon in Charlotte while dodging tornado warnings coming back. But if you read all that stuff, we had two stories on Owen on Sunday on Dog Nation. But then if you see the video and maybe see Owen's mannerisms and the way he's looking as he maybe makes those same statements, you see it live, you see the video, you see the images and the pictures, I think there are two maybe different takeaways from that, Brandon, and I'm curious to what everybody else thought about it, and I'm curious what you thought about it.
Well, if you want to know my opinion about what I thought about it, I do think this is a guy who likes the theater here. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I think that, you know, these guys get a chance to, you know, go through this process once, and if this is the way that becomes fun for him, that's his right to do that. But, you know, I think what you were alluding to a moment ago is if you read sort of hard text, it sort of makes it you feel one way. You know, Owen Pipoe knows where he's going to choose. But when you watch the video, you don't come across – if he does truly feel that way, you know, the body language doesn't necessarily, you know, suggest that. This is a guy who suggests that, you know, he wants everyone to sort of feel like they're involved in it. It's almost like the pro wrestling promoter that wants everybody to tune into the pay-per-view on May 1st. He wants as many eyeballs and as much attention as he can get on his May 1st decision. You know, he comes across to me as a bit of a salesman during that interview with you of someone who's trying to sell interest and attention on the announcement he's about to make.
Well, here's what I think, and you know, who do we consider, Brandon? You know, you're going to be the authority on this. I'm going to defer to you. But the greatest actor in professional wrestling history, is that Ric Flair?
Oh yeah, you might have to say that. Sure, sure.
Well, to me, you listen to Papo, and the Georgia conversations, the Georgia answers are all very seems like clean cut. Seems like, you know, very easy to trot those things out. Very authoritative statements. And then when he makes thoughts about Auburn, he shares his thoughts about Auburn. He's basically saying he wants to play with a lot of dogs. He needs to see how that recruiting class builds up. And, you know, he even maybe discussed a little bit about the growing trend about where, you know, Popo heading to Auburn, where that's coming from. He kind of had his own take on that. And I think body language kind of helped a lot there. But you draw something from the way he said it and not just what he said.
Yeah, real quick there, and we're not going to talk about Owen Popo the whole time, I promise you, on our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, but you do bring up a really interesting point that he told you that his ultimate decision comes down to the fact that he wants to see how good the Auburn recruiting class ends up being. He wants to, as you said, he wants to play with some dogs. That's obviously a term of endearment. Well, I mean, just to compare the trajectories of the two classes right now, we know that Georgia's got multiple five-star guys, you know, sort of on pace to get a whole bunch more. The Auburn class, I think for the most part right now, is very much undecided in terms of how elite it's going to be. It was 16 four-stars a year ago, but were those of the high four-star variety? I guess different people would have different tastes on that. So, I mean, if you're a Georgia fan, you come away with maybe the greatest sense of optimism. If Owen means what he says there, the Georgia class is going to be better than Auburn's, even if Popo joins Auburn's class.
Yeah, and I think I'm researching my memory here. I think Auburn's best player from the 2018 class would have been the 10th highest player on the Georgia 2018 class.
There you go.
In terms of that comparison. You know, and I think, you know, he does make it the point that Auburn interest there is genuine. Travis Williams, T. Will, is a guy that everybody universally accords that Auburn is probably their very best, at least defensive linebacker recruiter. Really connects well with the players. You know, but he really took that good long visit with his teammate Wanya Morris, maybe about a month ago now, 3 weeks ago now. And he spent 3 days there. And it was the first time at Auburn where he really had, you know, it wasn't a drive-through visit. It wasn't a camp visit. It wasn't a game visit. So he got the time to hang out, watch film. And Auburn felt kind of cozy to him. And that's why Auburn, he said, is catching up, because he had a really good exposure to Auburn. And, you know, that's, I think you said last night on our program, Brandon, and thanks again for joining us, but this is supposed to be, I don't want to know theatrical, but it's supposed to be contested. There's not going to be a, you know, an Olympic 400-meter race in Georgia or any school. The lead school is going to have a half a lap lead. When these players are this good, these recruiters around the country at these big football factories are that good, and there's going to be challengers to the eventual choice, the eventual decision.
I think that's well said. Quick final thing on Papo, and we'll move on to another player. To me, this reminds me, and take away the fact that Fields ultimately ends up at Georgia for a moment, but what we're saying about Papo right now reminds me of June and July of a year ago on Justin Fields every single week here on our program, where the Auburn folks thought he was going to Auburn, the FSU folks thought he was going to Florida State, the Georgia folks thought he was going to Georgia. You know, he Fields, for a while, seemed really intent on making multiple fan bases, maybe even multiple reporter tribes, you know, feel like that he was interested in various schools. Is the comparison fair between Fields a year ago and Papo right now?
Pretty close. I think it's a little bit different with a quarterback. Justin was a little bit higher rated. Justin was actually coming off a decommitment, and it was funny if you leaned on your sources during some of that recruitment, you'd learn that you knew that maybe Justin was probably, you know, trending away from Penn State a couple of months before the actual decommitment. And Papo never did have a commitment. You know, there was a time when he was supposed to commit to Florida State. Clemson was in there. Coaching changes, he said, were a big reason. Relationship switches were a big reason there. why things, you know, never really happened where he didn't make a commitment. But you can kind of see where, you know, Justin's decision was likely going to be a certain school, definitely a few months in advance. So Papo has kind of been more clearly Georgia. I don't know if I had to warn a guess, I would say Papo has kind of felt a certain type of way, Georgia as an elite one or two school, probably, maybe dating back to last October, November. And that's really kind of intersects with the arc where Georgia's program really started to take off everywhere in the class of 2018 and 2019. So if he's going to do it on May the 1st, he's got a new timeline in mind, and I guess it's 4 days earlier for everybody to wait.
All right, so let me shift gears here in our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. Of course, it's great to have Jeff Sintel with us here today on the program. And, of course, love to see you tonight. All of you who are listening right now at our event at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be getting you ready for G-Day, giving away Dog Nation Appreciation T-shirts. It's going to be a really fun night tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven. So I read your piece about four-star cornerback from Archer High School, Andrew Booth. Obviously, we know Booth is a big-time prospect for the 2019 class here. But as I'm reading this, I have to admit there was a moment where I'm sort of scratching my head here, because Booth says he sort of returns it's requited love on his part for Nolan Smith, who's obviously publicly stated that he wants to see Andrew Booth join him at Georgia. Booth said he wants to play with Nolan Smith in college, so therefore it seems like a perfect relationship, a happy marriage here. And yet Booth also tells you that he may go to Tennessee on Saturday to its spring game and not come to Georgia. What gives with Booth going to maybe another SEC team spring game when he has a chance to be with 80-something thousand of his closest friends there in Athens?
Well, I don't know if they're the closest friends yet. Maybe one of his closest friends, and his buddy Nolan. You're jumping a little bit of the gun there, sir. But, I think Andrew Booth is a guy, and, you know, I don't know if we put out our, you know, officially unofficial pecking orders, but I think when you start thinking about Andrew Booth, any way I can slice or dice or chop, scatter, smother, cover Georgia's maybe top five most wanted targets for 2019, Andrew Booth is going to be in there. Now, he's the top cornerback in the state of Georgia. He's the number five cornerback in the country. On the cusp of five-star status, I don't think he'll ever get there, because he's not a guy that's going to do the camps. He's not going to do the openings. He doesn't think that's real football, and that's an interesting mix with Andrew, because he's got two teammates that also have Georgia offers now, and everybody wonders if those guys will play together. And he said one of those guys, Colby Wooden, is a guy that he would love to play with in college, because he wants defensive linemen to affect the quarterback and help him be more effective at getting picks, jumping routes, and everything else like that. Colby's also going to be at Georgia on G-Day. Now, Andrew's a guy that, you know, I tried to write that right down the middle as closely as I could, because everybody thinks, hey, Dog Nation's writing about him. They've got these pictures of him. That must mean something here. Well, Clemson is really a school that is in there with Andrew Booth, and because they were the first school that kind of really jumped in on him and recruited him hard. Now, that can't be said about Georgia. Georgia's kind of really only been on him hard maybe for about 4 or 5 months. And the attention there with Georgia is increasing. The attraction for him in Georgia is, he's warming to Georgia a lot. I think Nolan has a lot to do with that. I think Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart have a lot to do with that. He comes from a family of 7 siblings, a lot of athletes in the family. Both parents really had a role in shaping Andrew, and got a twin sister, lots of neat little variables here. That's why I thought it was such an interesting story. And one of the things he said about his mother is he said his mother really likes the fact that Athens is only 41 miles away from where they live in Lawrenceville. So that's a guy that kind of you need to put on the burner a little bit and just wonder and see what bubbles up there right now, because Andrew Booth's about 6'1", about 190 pounds, looks every bit the part of what a future NFL cornerback should look like. Hard worker, and maybe, Brandon, the most amazing thing to me is he grew 7 inches in his freshman year to go from a 5'4", 125-pound speck of just trying to get reps on the ninth grade team to an elite national prospect in 2019.
And it sounds like, according to what you read, I thought it was a great piece at DogNation.com, that he's close with his sister, and it sounds like his sister doesn't want him to go to Georgia, which is probably a factor in this discussion too, right?
Well, yeah, she named us. I basically said, where does she hope he winds up? And she had her favorites. I think she named Auburn. She named Clemson and Florida State. But again, I don't know if she's had the chance to maybe warm to Georgia over the last few months, the way she's been to Clemson a lot and everything else like that. Now, Booth was at Clemson spring game, and he just, you know, and sometimes Brandon, I don't know, maybe sometimes these kids get busy and they're not really figuring out. I mean, like, some guys have told me that they plan to be at G-Day for the last 3 weeks. Other guys have kind of hemming and hauling between a couple of schools. And, you know, with G-Day, the other thing to think about there is there's Alabama's A-Day in Tuscaloosa a couple hours earlier on ESPN. And then there's JP Day, I guess, in Tennessee the same day as well. So there's a lot of competing spring game interests for a lot of guys to catch up with and talk to.
What else do we need to know about the G-Day visitor list for right now? Now I'm going to hammer you this hard on Friday when you come back. But as far as, like, just kind of a couple quick bullet points here about, you know, what we should be thinking about as we start putting our attention on that big chance to impress recruits on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the main thing is Georgia's got, maybe a third of their recruiting class for 2019 already committed. You'll likely see a lot of the commitments there. The main thing is there's a five-star in Brian Breezy. That's the nation's number one overall prospect out of Maryland. If you had to think about the most headline-grabbing visitor right now, at least right now, that's going to be Breezy because he he's been to Georgia a lot, 6'5½", about 288 pounds now. The guy keeps growing. Nation's number one overall prospect for 2020 out of Damascus, Maryland. Arik Gilbert is another tight end who has maybe five-star potential out of Marietta High School. He's going to be there. Lots of, you know, most of the 2019 names, it's maybe more interesting about maybe right now who probably won't be there. I don't foresee Harry Miller being there, the valued offensive line target for 2019 after he's taken back-to-back long weekend visits to Ohio State and Stanford. You know, the folks that aren't going to be there, you know, Amari Kite, which is the huge tackle out of Thompson High School in Alabaster, Alabama. He's going to be at Alabama for that A-Day. So a lot of big names, a lot of choices to look for there. I do think there'll be at least one or two surprise visitors that show up. And
I love surprise visitors.
Well, here's another surprise visitor, Brandon. This is kind of real-time stuff, happened about maybe an hour ago.
Ooh.
Leonard Manuel decommitted from Miami.
Okay.
6'4" receiver. Hope we don't have to educate everybody out there about how well Georgia's recruited in South Florida and in Miami-Dade over the last few months and over the last few cycles in the 305 area code.
Shout out to James Coley.
Yeah, that one of the he was basically one of the prize recruits in the Miami recruiting class. Just decommits from Miami. 6'4", 200, a wide receiver. He's rated currently as the nation's number two receiver for 2020 per 24/7 Sports. And he did just take a recent unofficial visit to UGA. And you can look online. That name's going to be kind of flaring up most of the day. I would expect a lot of people that do the crystal ball stuff to start crystal balling Manuel, maybe even to Georgia. There will be a lot of sentiment to think that trip to Georgia really locked something into his mind and maybe sparked the decommitment. But, Brandon, I know it might be hard for you to get used to. This might be, you know, new Georgia recruiting problems, but it looks like we've got the 2019 class and the 2020 class where Georgia is clearly on the radar of the nation's top two, top three receivers every cycle now.
Yeah, that's good times right there. That is really exciting. All right, real quick before we let you go here on the Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, let me do two kind of rapid-fire type things with you. Kirby Smart made a big point on Saturday to kind of push back against questions about his tight end usage. Georgia signed a big one or a couple really good ones for the class of 2019 with Fitzpatrick and obviously Luke Ford. You know, you got Rylan Goede in the mix for the 2019 class. What do these guys think about that? The debate over why Georgia hasn't used tight ends. What do recruits think about that?
It's kind of funny. They initially when they make these visits and they come in, everybody wants to say that, you know, I hope to see Georgia light up the tight ends. That's really going to make things very interesting because people like Stanford do it and Michigan do it. You know, I think we've already reported ad nauseum about how Kirby feels about the tight end question, but there's a lot of things to think about there. You know, Jake Fromm's a guy who gets rid of the ball really fast. that he's a quick decision maker, and it usually takes the tight ends a lot longer to get out in their routes. But the main thing, I don't know if a lot of our viewership or readers really recognize, is when Georgia runs the ball downhill, physical run first as much as they do, that's going to be a lot of guys in the box. And having eight or nine guys in the box, it's really hard for the tight end to get open and to get separation on a lot of those guys. And first and foremost, I think Georgia makes it very clear that you come to Georgia to play tight end, you're going to play in big games now. You're going to want to win. The recruits like to hear that. They want to work with a very talented passer. They're going to love to hear that. They want to make sure they get one-on-ones because there's a lot of guys to contend with on the edges, and they want to hear all that. So, you know, that's the things that the tight ends hear and they think about when it comes to the Georgia offense. But then, simply put, Brandon, if you're a play caller and you have a choice about whether you want the ball in the hands of Mecole Hardman, Terry Godwin, J.J. Holloman, DeAndre Swift, Zamir White, James Cook, there's not a lot of tight ends anywhere, even some of those that play on Sundays, that are going to be the priority A or priority B option when they have all those weapons like that on a college football field.
All right, last thing for you, and this can be quick. You know, there's been so much comparison between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields back when they were in high school. I think they even flip-flopped the number one ranking a couple times there. Well, Lawrence looked great on Saturday in Clemson's spring game. Now, Clemson needs him more than Georgia needs Fields, because I don't think he can win a national championship with Kelly Bryant. You obviously can with Jake Fromm. But I do think that Lawrence's performance does put an interesting spotlight a bit here on Justin Fields. Do you think Fields can match Lawrence in a G-Day on Saturday?
I think Justin will look very good on Saturday, especially the way these things are designed. A lot of air raid, a lot of throw it around type displays, and that's kind of what Justin is used to from the Elite 11 setting. I don't think you're going to see Justin put up maybe one of those reminiscent Jacob Eason stat lines from a spring game. When everybody pops their lists out on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening and they talk about the top performers or the most interesting performers, I would not be surprised at all to see Justin Fields' name show up around the top five or six, because he's just that type of guy. He's going to show a lot of things, especially about the new faces, especially about the early enrollees. He is expected to turn some heads and to create some wow factor as well. And it's going to be a good problem to have, because if on those same top five lists, I expect, you know, Jake Fromm to be, mm-hmm. you know, one, two, or three in that list as well. And maybe Fields shows up around six, seven, or eight. So that's really what Georgia has at the quarterback position. And I think, to connect to another point, that's why the Blaylocks and the Hazelwoods and now a guy like Leonard Manuel out of South yep. Florida is really going to take a hard look at Georgia.
Well, Jeff, you are one of our top performers as well each and every week here on Tuesdays for our Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All. We appreciate you being part of the program today. And, of course, to our Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers, love to see you tonight, Marlowe's in Brookhaven, 6 to 8 p.m., for a big Marlowe's big game preview looking ahead to the spring game on Saturday. Jeff, we'll look forward to reading more from you at DogNation.com in the days ahead, and talk to you on the program again here very soon.
All right, guys. I hope they like your big surprise, Brandon. Take it easy.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Jeff references the big surprise there. Obviously, if you're just joining us, we sort of started the show by telling you, coming up this Saturday at the UGA Bookstore for our Dog Nation postgame show after G-Day, welcoming in a very special guest co-host, Jeb Blazevich, the great former Georgia tight end, terrific guy, smart football mind, a guy who was in the locker room with Kirby Smart and many of these Georgia players just a few months ago. Joins us for our Dog Nation postgame show on Saturday. Really excited about having Jeb Blazevich on for that. And by the way, if you're a Georgia fan of Warner Robins, something for you to be excited about as well. Our friends at Kroger have got something great going on here. Vince Dooley's going to be signing his new book, The Legion's Fighting Bulldogs, Wednesday. That's tomorrow, April 18th. It's 3 to 5 p.m. It's the Kroger at Nixon Crossing off Highway 96. Once again, Warner Robins area, the Nixon Crossing Kroger right there off Highway 96. The legendary, great former Georgia football coach Vince Dooley signing copies of his brand new book, The Legion's Fighting Bulldogs. That is tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m., the Nixon Crossing Kroger. It's off Highway 96 there in Warner Robins. Of course, they're in the WR. Dog fans already excited about Jake Fromm, what he's going to do on Saturday. And another reason to be excited as Coach Dooley's there in your stomping grounds coming up this week. All right, SEC Through time now. Of course, make sure you check us out on SEC Country Live this afternoon. 3 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Country Facebook and YouTube pages. One of the stories that we'll get into, and a couple of these actually came out yesterday. We just didn't have time to get to them on the program yesterday. One of those online sports books has released its over-unders for 2018. These are predicted season win totals. And, you know, even if you don't bet games, this is kind of interesting because this is where a lot of the online community thinks this season is heading here. You know, a over-under is simply how many games you're more likely to win. You can bet more wins than that, fewer wins than that. And, boy, optimism about Georgia here because according to, I believe it's BetDSI that has this, according to this online sports book, Georgia joins Alabama with the highest overall win total for the 2018 season from the SEC at 10.5. Now, if you don't follow the over-under market all that much, 10.5 is a huge total. 10.5 is about as high as you're ever going to see anybody have. You almost never see an 11. Even national championship contenders oftentimes are only at 10. There's a chance that maybe where Georgia settles and this is all said and done. But for right now, Georgia is at 10.5. They join Alabama there. You got Auburn at 9, which sort of echoes what we've been saying now for a while, that Auburn's pretty clearly the third best team in the SEC, but also pretty clearly a step and a half behind teams like Alabama and Georgia. Mississippi State's at 8. LSU's at 7.5. I think that's probably a pretty strong underplay. South Carolina's at 7. You got Florida at 7 here. Missouri's at 6.5. Ole Miss at 6. Kentucky at 6. How about Tennessee way down at 5.5 here, near the very bottom of the SEC? They join Arkansas at 5.5. Vanderbilt at 5 here. But not a lot expected from a couple of Georgia's big SEC East rivals. Florida at just 7, I think under may be at least worth a look there. Tennessee at 5.5, that's a prediction for another losing season. So kind of an ugly mess there for some of Georgia's SEC East competition here. Pretty interesting. We'll talk more about that on SEC Country Live later on today. Another story we'll get into is really good reporting from a couple guys at AL.com about Alabama. And apparently they weren't the only school in the SEC that made certainly showed some interest in hiring Hugh Freeze as an on-field coach for 2018. Apparently Alabama wanted to do it as kind of a co-offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach role, maybe the role that Dan Enos is in for Alabama now. Nick Saban's idea was to have that filled by former Ole Miss coach Hugh Freeze. The SEC essentially shot it down, which is sort of interesting in a lot of regards here. What you're not too sure about from the SEC standpoint, is this more about the sort of off-field immoral behavior? Is this more about the NCAA stuff? What was it about Hugh Freeze that made the SEC feel so repugnant about him in 2018? Because, listen, I mean, Alabama's rehabilitated a lot of careers here. Steve Sarkisian had some skeletons in his closet of a very different variety, but Alabama hired him as an analyst. Lane Kiffin wasn't a perfect, you know, coaching candidate when Alabama brought him in either, but something about Hugh Freeze was too objectionable for the SEC, at least according to AL.com. It's a pretty interesting report there. We'll talk more about it this afternoon. I just talked to Jeff Sintel a moment ago about, you know, what Kirby Smart said about Georgia's tight end usage on Saturday when he spoke about, you know, getting tired of those questions about why Georgia's not using tight ends. I couldn't help but notice that one SEC team is apparently taking a very different tack when it comes to this kind of stuff. Chad Morris, obviously the brand new coach at Arkansas, he is, you know, really thought to be one of these, not thought to be, he is one of these spread, you know, guru guys, and these, you know, real spread offense. For the most part, they don't use tight ends. You know, their fourth receiver is another slot receiver, and that's pretty consistent across the board with these spread teams. But the Arkansas offensive coordinator, Joe Craddock, says that's not going to be different for this version of the spread at Arkansas. He says every tight end in the country ought to want to come play at Arkansas because of how much they use the tight ends this spring. Is that true? We'll find out this fall. This is probably a recruiting pitch towards Hunter Henry's brother. Hunter Henry's a great tight end in Arkansas, and his brother now is a four-star prospect in the state of Arkansas. Arkansas obviously wants to get him, and they want to make the pitch that that tight ends will be used. We'll see during the fall if they're true to their word on that. And then a quick final story here for our SEC through. Thought it was interesting that LSU is apparently planning on hosting a graduate transfer running back, Trey Watson from Cal. Looking to play his final season elsewhere. He's going to visit LSU, and I guess the thought here is that LSU is serious about this. They feel like they need some depth at their running back. Nick Brissett, Edwards-Helaire, maybe they feel like they're not quite ready to sort of take on the full mantle of the LSU running game here, need to add some depth. I think transfer players are almost always a good idea. I think they're experienced and they're, you know, oftentimes, you know, very much college ready here. So it's a good way to get better. But, man, LSU has taken on a lot of transfers. A couple from Texas Tech, Giles, the receiver, Fihoko, the defensive lineman. Just had a Terrence Alexander, defensive back from Stanford. Trey Watson, now maybe a running back from Cal. Was the LSU roster in that bad a shape that they need four transfer players just to compete in the SEC West this season? Obviously, things have sort of dropped off a good bit there for LSU. Kind of an interesting scenario. We'll make that your SEC through. Obviously, that's also interesting for Georgia fans because Dogs travel to Baton Rouge to face LSU here this October. For now, though, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we want to shift our gears back towards the Georgia Bulldogs here for a moment. And Georgia held its second scrimmage of the spring on Saturday. Kirby Smart's assessment of this I thought was kind of interesting for a couple of reasons. I want to let you hear this, and then we'll kind of talk about what it means. For the most part, Kirby fairly complimentary for what he sort of described as a balanced scrimmage. Here's more from him on what that means.
A more balanced scrimmage. We tried to run the ball some more, thinking that we would test the defense, and I thought the defense had one of their better practices when it comes to being able to stop the run. And then the offense kind of dominated the third down period, and the defense had been dominating that. So it was almost a seesaw effect of some of the periods defense had been winning, the offense won, and vice versa. It's very competitive, and I thought the guys played really hard.
There are a couple of things that I take from that clip, and I'm not telling you that I'm 1,000% accurate on this, but there are a couple things that come to mind hearing Kirby Smart talk there. First of all, one of the things that I think is sort of underrated about some of Kirby Smart's addresses to the media is that he comes across to me as fairly honest and fairly straightforward, sometimes even candid on certain issues. Because the easiest thing in the world for a coach to do, and listen, I listen to SEC coaches' press conferences all day long, every single day, it seems like. And a lot of these guys just sort of speak in circles and never say anything. But Kirby Smart, after having been critical of the defensive line the other day, kind of comes back and gives them a little bit of praise for how they stopped the run during this scrimmage. There's a certain level of candor there that even if you can't see the scrimmage, it makes you feel like you knew what went on because Kirby Smart sort of describes it there in what seems like a fairly honest and, you know, somewhat descriptive way there. So as a fan, I would hope that you would kind of appreciate that. And, of course, it's, you know, assuming this is true, it's good news to hear that a defensive line that had been maligned a few days before that statement all of a sudden maybe respond to that in a fairly positive way. It's also sort of interesting to hear what Kirby says there about the offense doing well in those third down situations. When he says third down, I'm assuming that's code word for obvious passing situations, and that's something that, you know, Kirby had asked the quarterbacks to do a little bit better with in the spring a little earlier. It sounds like they also responded on that too. So we'll see all this for ourselves on G-Day coming up this Saturday, but it sounds like for the most part, I mean, you don't really find that many opportunities where Kirby Smart's been overly critical for too long about any one area. He's challenged guys, and then he's reported back that they were responding to that challenge pretty well. So if you just go by him based on what Kirby Smart said so far this spring, it seems like he's pretty happy with how things are playing out. I am also really happy about this upcoming Saturday as well. I told you what we're doing post-game. Excited about welcoming Jeb Blazevich for our post-game show there at the UGA Bookstore. We've also got a big event going on that morning or that afternoon before the game at Bulldog Park, which is at 655 Hancock Industrial Way. It's a luxury motor home park. Folks park their RVs there. We're going to be there from 11 till 2. David Green, David Pollock there from noon to 12:30. Bulldog Park's telling us that. Looking forward to seeing them there. Also, Kevin Butler there from 1:30 p.m. to 2 p.m. So Bulldog Park going to bring in some heavy hitters. David Green, David Pollock, Kevin Butler all Saturday. We're going to be there from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. ourselves. We're giving away T-shirts, so please come on by and see us at Bulldog Park this upcoming Saturday. And as we wrap up our program, a couple things to remind you of. First of all, we go back to Jacksonville this October, and we talk about it every single day because, well, here on our program, we think there's nothing better than beating those lousy, stinking Gators. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, loves doing the Gator Hitter Countdown every single day. And 193 days from right now, Georgia in Jacksonville beats Florida once again. By the way, speaking of Florida, kind of a funny story. Daniel Shirley, one of our Dog Nation teammates here, passed this along to me. Lee Corso was doing a media event somewhere and was talking about the headgear that he puts on, and the one he said he hates wearing the most is that Florida headgear. He says his nose would bleed every time he did it because of the way it fit on his head. We like Lee Corso. If he doesn't like Florida, By the way, also make sure you check us out, Marlowe's Tonight, Brookhaven, starting at 6 p.m. We'll see you there for our big game preview. And tomorrow, right back here, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.